Apothecaries Hall is classified by the National Trust and listed on the Victorian Heritage Database. The building was constructed in the early 1860s for Mark Tucker and Robert White, who were undertakers and cabinet makers. In 1866, after an economic downturn, Tucker and White moved their business to other premises, and the building was leased by a series of doctors, hence the name Apothecaries Hall. The property was renovated in the early 1980s and is now a private residence, so we ask that you please do not trespass or disturb the owners in any way. Many historical people are associated with the town's ghost stories, but there wasn't anyone for Apothecaries Hall, so we investigated if any strange events had occurred at the location as a means of possibly identifying the ghosts. We ended up with a few theories, but before we talk about those, let's hear the ghost story. Rebecca Dempsey is a former resident of Port Ferry who was asked to house sit the property during the early 1990s, when the owners went on an extended overseas holiday. The following is an extract from Rebecca's interview. "I'd been there a little while, and one night I stepped from the kitchen into the passageway. And you know when you nearly bump into someone and your automatic reaction is to step back and say, 'Oh, sorry,' because you didn't see them there. I'm not one for turning many lights on, but there was a light on in the kitchen, and as I stepped through the door, there was a man standing there. He wasn't very tall. He was wearing a navy pinstripe suit and had a fob watch in his hand, which was on a chain connected to his waistcoat, and he was looking at the time. And he had a matching pinstripe hat on. The hat was very rounded, with a flat top and a peak that came out at the front. You know how they wore matching hats in the 1800s? It was the same pinstripe. I stepped through the door and nearly bumped into him, stepped back and said, 'Oh, sorry,' realised there shouldn't have been anyone there, looked back and he was gone. I didn't feel any threat or anything from him at all. He was just there, looking at his watch." There was originally a morgue at Apothecaries Hall, and the ghost could arguably be anyone whose body was delivered there. However, we found two tragic deaths that are closely associated with the property, so we'll let you decide if either of these individuals could be the ghost. Dr. John Baird rented Apothecaries Hall from 1876 to 1891. Baird died of an accidental overdose in his surgery on the premises on the 7th of February, 1891. He had been self-administering arsenic for a stomach complaint and had, unfortunately, taken too much. Arsenic was commonly used for digestive ailments in those days. Baird's son, Cuthbert, found him ill in the surgery. Another doctor was sent for, but it was too late when he arrived at the scene. Baird was well-respected in the community and left behind a large family. There was a big funeral and local newspapers reported the shock felt by the townsfolk at the doctor's untimely death. The second tragic death was that of Robert White, one of the undertakers involved in the construction of Apothecaries Hall. White's partnership with Tucker dissolved in 1872 and he set up his own undertaker and cabinet maker business in Sackville Street. He later hung himself in a coach house at the rear of that property on the 1st of October, 1894, at age 54. White apparently committed suicide because of another economic downturn. So, ironically, the undertaker killed himself because business was bad. Again, White left a large family behind. He was well respected in the community, and there was considerable shock at the manner of his death. He had not threatened to commit suicide before. It was strange to find these two tragic deaths associated with the property. So who was the ghost trapped in space and time? Was it Baird, haunted by his sudden death, or perhaps White, haunted by the success of his early days at Apothecaries Hall? We'll let you decide. A further extract from Rebecca's interview indicates the ghost did not bother her again. "That was the only time I ever saw the man, and I never saw anybody else there. I can still to this day clearly see him. It's a vision I will never forget. He seemed quite comfortable in the building. He was looking at his watch, and when I stepped through the door, he looked up at me. It was like he was where he should be, and I was the one who was out of place. He obviously felt at home there. He wasn't just someone who was passing through."